T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bruce, with Tuca, is it a situation where you have to watch him carefully in the early going, see how he is? What was the determining factors that made you decide to go with him?
He's ready to go, Steve. So that's it. It's that simple. He's our starting goalie, and he's healthy and ready to go. And let's hope he's on tonight, and we're better in front of him than Game 5.
Bruce Cassidy earlier today, no doubt in his mind, he's going with Tuukka Rask. Is it the right move, the right decision? Tuukka Rask was taken out of the game the other night because of what he called maintenance, not because of merit.
Yeah. Am I allowed?
You flip flopping?
Can I use a mulligan?
You're flip flopping in the course of one show?
Yes, 3 hours ago.
Usually it takes the next day before you flip flop.
A week, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, because I feel like you guys are just. You guys are just way too in the weeds on your hatred for Tuukka.
Oh, nope. Come on. Oh, stop
I
it.
I do. I feel like you just...
Stop
I don't
it.
Hate
just,
Tuukka.
I am, you sound like Debbie now. No. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Because I'm thinking swimming. About it. Okay, is yeah. it, okay was it the right call, Lou?
No.
It was the wrong call. So you're saying Cassidy should have sat him and he should have started Seaman.
I'm saying that Bruce Cassidy is having his Grady Little moment that he had with Pedro.
Ooh.
That if he's going down, he's going down with his guy.
Yeah.
He should have realized that Pedro was done. And he should realize that Tuca's not healthy. And the best option is Swayman. But he doesn't want to go there because he wants to ride with his guy. If I'm going to lose tonight, I could see Bruce the last couple of days talking with goalie Bob, and all his other coaches and everything else, and they're talking about, I don't think he's 100%, he's not moving well, and debating it, and I'm sure there was a moment where he said, okay, if I go with Swayman, what does it look like? What do we got to do if I go with Tuukka? And all these thoughts going through his mind as a coach the last 2 days, and then finally sitting there saying, you know what, screw it. Tuca's my guy. I ride with Tuukka. He's my number one goalie. He's one of the best goalies in the league. I'm going with him. And that's what I think he's doing.
Christian, if you have hatred
for
Tuukka Rask, you're sitting there saying, I don't want to see him in a goal at all under any circumstances. I'm not saying that. I don't think Lou's saying that either. I like what I saw of Swayman in the regular season, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he goes with a full crowd at the Nassau Coliseum in an elimination game, and he goes out there and stands on his head, because I think that's going to be nearly impossible to do. So if Tuukka Rask is 100%, you're going with Tuukka Rask tonight. But does any of us think he's anywhere close to 100%?
I'm going to give Cassidy more credit than you, because I think that he has the ability to know whether Tuukka Rask is hurt.
Then why did you take him out the other night?
Because I think that's a one-off situation. I feel like, I'm the know-all and be-all end-all of, back issues, but I know how quickly it can just, grab you and just completely put you on your ass.
Yeah, but he said today, he told me that he felt a lot better after the game than he did during the game. Well, of course he did. He was sitting on the bench. He wasn't doing anything.
So my thing is,
he felt better coming out of that game than he did during it. Figured he was ready to go, so it's his net.
I would hope so, and maybe he took a little ibuprofen. Ibuprofen. Sure. He might have taken that, and he probably killed the pain, whatever. But what happens when he has to make a save?
Do you trust
3 minutes
Cassidy,
into the game tonight?
Do you trust Bruce Cassidy?
I'm not sure I trust this decision tonight.
No, no, no. Do you trust him?
I trust him, but I think he's having a moment.
Real good coach.
You think he's having a blind moment?
Yeah, blind faith. When I say blind faith, he's got faith in his guy. I get it. And I do too. It's not hatred of Tuukka. It's just he's just not the healthy goalie. And to Glenn's point, him saying he felt better afterwards than before. Oh, okay. Yeah, he comes out of the game. He's no longer in his feet. He's no longer going left and right and flopping all over the ice. He's sitting on the bench. Maybe he got, he came out of that second period and he knew he was done. Maybe he iced. Maybe he's got a little stim machine, that they have, like the little portable ones during the third period on his back. Maybe he's getting treatment the entire third period just sitting there. And he gets treatment after the game. And at night he's like, yeah, actually, I feel better now than the game. Oh, you should. Because you've been getting treatment here now. But once you get back in there, how long can you go? And the other night, I felt like it lasted about a period and a half. Because, again, the third and fourth goal, I don't think he looked right. So if it's a period and a half again, and you got to sit and wait till you're down 3-1 before you pull him, that's not a good spot to be in either on the road. I think it's setting up for a bad night.
Yeah, we played a soundbite yesterday with Andrew Raycroft, who was on with Greg Hill. And he's a goaltender. And he said right from the get-go, early on,
I watched him just playing the puck, and with something that he's done really well, really worked on, got better at. I thought it was not sharp, especially to start the game. A few odd plays coming out of the net. Didn't look like he could really get a lot of leverage on his stick and make real good hard plays. And you put all of it together, and then he comes out. There's something going on, but when the coach says, he could have went, but we didn't. I'm not sure. There's just a lot to try and take from not the 100% information that we have.
He said the start of the game. So suddenly he's now 2 days later, less than 48 hours later, he's suddenly fine. I just find it hard to believe, Christian. That's all I'm saying. And I think Cassidy is going with it. Maybe he looks at the kid. And he looks at Sweeman, and he says, I don't want to put him in that position.
Put in Sweeman.
You put him in Nassau Coliseum. Those fans are crazy. He hasn't played before full houses before. And maybe it's too much for him. I'm going to take a shot. I'll go with Tuukka, and if I notice that Tuukka is a little bit off early on, quick hook, then I go.
See, I would say the great little comparison is good as far as the outcome. Is like you want to avoid that outcome. But, making a decision, in a 10-minute, 5-minute time frame that ultimately costs you your job is different than having, 48 hours to make a decision and see things develop.
Agreed. But,
you can make a better, educated decision.
But is anybody going to be surprised if Tuukka Rask is out midway through the first period
No,
tonight?
But I would also say this. I would hope that, one, Cassidy monitors a little bit better. And Tuukka is more honest. Hey, listen, this is the same thing I was going through in game five, guys. It's going to get worse. Get me out of here now. Not listening. Battlefield commissioned me. Let me go out there in the second period. My assumption is that the first period wasn't great. You sat there. You felt decent. You said, okay, I can make it through the second period. And then you're like, uh-oh, the wheels fell off.
I hate to give you the obvious. There's no tomorrow. So in tonight's game,
it's a must win.
If he notices anything early on in the game, which Raycroft was able to pick up on, and obviously he's going to be able to do it, the coaching staff is going to be able to do it, then you come to the conclusion, you know what? Tuukka sold me, and he sold me
I just don't think Cassidy's that stupid, and I also
don't think
he's that reckless.
I don't either.
What about Loyal?
Yeah.
What about Loyal?
You think loyalty is clouding his judgment?
Well, I think maybe he just looks at him and says, listen, I trust you. You tell me. Don't mess with me, man. This is game six. And Tuukka looks at him and says, I can go. But I think that's a dangerous thing to ask an athlete.
Don't you think most competitive athletes would say that, Lou?
If you say you can go, I'm going with you. I'm loyal. You're my guy. You're my number one goalie. I'm going with you. And I just go back to him before the series started. I think somebody brought up health. And he said, we got a competent goalie behind him. And I just think you're at the point right now where you don't say something like that if you don't mean it. And I feel like now he's saying it, and he didn't mean it. Because if he did, if he really felt like he had a competent goal, he'd go with the healthy kid.
Okay, so you guys tell me, being in sports and being around athletes all the time, if a guy were to say to a coach, I don't have it. I don't have it. What would people think of that guy? Wouldn't in most cases a competitive athlete sit there and say when the coach asks him, can you do it? Yep, I can do it.
I do think there are guys that say yep, but you can tell they're lying.
Correct.
Well, they don't mean it.
But you can't say I'm not ready. It is the biggest game, and this is a guy who already has built a reputation, whether it's fair or not, in the public's eyes, that in the biggest games he's not there. So when Bruce Cassidy says to him, "You ready to go? Can you go?" What's he going to say? Now, he's going to say yes.
If we're talking about a guy that we're everything about Tuukka Rask is all about perception and how he's perceived.
I agree.
This is so unbelievably risky for both guys. So if I'm Tuukka, like I am not risking it if I'm not 100% sure I'm 100% good to go. Not 100% healthy, but 100% capable of finishing the game and playing at a high level.
I hate to say it. I think the mentality of guys like you, professional competitive athletes, is I can do anything. I can do it. Screw you. I can do it. Even though he's probably looking at it saying, okay, the back's bothering me a little bit. I'll get around it. Give me something. I can get around it. Then when the game starts and he starts to make a save and he's got to skate to the left side of the net and spread out the legs and whatever, suddenly he goes, ooh, I felt that.
Well, listen, mm-hmm. Whatever pain I was feeling, I can guarantee you if I'm Tuukka Rask, if I am him, I am not feeling a damn thing.
No, he might not.
And I know exactly what I'm doing to make sure I don't feel anything.
But what are his reflexes like, though?
And it won't affect my reflexes.
But that's another point.
I won't feel a thing.
Like, you know, he's dealing with a back issue. What you're talking about, you don't think he's already done just to get out there?
Well, listen, I'm whatever I did before, I'm doubling up. I'm taking. I'm doing two. I'm going two. I'm tripling. Yes,
Doc, give me two of those.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not. There's lots of things you can do that are safe remedies. That's not going to sit there and blow yourself out.
Yeah, I think there'll be some of that. There'll be some of that. But still, if you're a professional athlete and you're Tuukka Rask and you're taking all of this grief, you're sitting there going, "Hell no, I'm not missing this game. I'll be there."
Okay.
Now it's up to Bruce Cassidy. So let's take him on his word that he believes Tuukka Rask is telling him the truth. They better be watching him early on in this game.
But see, my thing is like the alternative. Okay, you say, "Oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm gonna sit there and play." No, the smart move would be to not play. That's the safe way. What he's doing is risky.
Hold on.
What he's doing is risky.
No, if he bailed, it'd be worse.
No, he's got a built-in excuse, guys.
No.
He can't walk. I couldn't finish the game.
He's much worse. In a no-win spot. I will admit that. He's pretty much
he's in a no-win spot.
Damn if he does, damn if he doesn't.
Yes, because he's got to win enough games to win the entire cup before these people that are the so-called Tuukka Rask haters are off his case. They're going to be all over him. So this game, really, in that respect, he's got to play tonight. In his mind, he's got to play. I'm not walking
out. He
walks out, yes. But if he walks out of this game and says no, and the kid is great, he's toast. If the kid is bad, he's toast. He can't win. He can't win either way.
You can't win.
All right, we're going to get to the phone call, 617-779-7937. But it's time for our code word.
Ooh. Ooh.
Another typical cash giveaway. Here's this hour's code word on WEEI.
Code word is theme, T-H-E-M-E. We had a theme at 4:30. It was Spaz's theme. Theme, T-H-E-M-E. Make sure you text theme to 72881. That's 72881 right now for your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Message and data rates apply. Don't text and drive.
With the cash. Beans. I like that.
Pull over off the road. All right, that's what you do. All right, to the phone calls we go right now. Tuukka Rask is your goaltender tonight. Good move or bad move? Here's Matt in Rhode Island. Hello, Matt.
Hey, guys. Just first, Lou, I totally agree. First and foremost, Cassidy has to switch the energy on the bench. I do think they're going to get the calls switched over to them, but, if they don't, they got to play through that. I don't think Swayman's afraid of this big moment. I think he would be okay. I think they're probably telling him, be ready. But then again, when he did come in, I know under difficult circumstances, he did let up a goal as well. But let me get to Tuukka. I've been watching Tuukka when he was with the P Bruins. This isn't going to be a popular take, but, you can't dwell on the past of Tuukka's failures, and we can't try to project going forward. This is an elimination game, obviously. I think they're going to win this game and go back. I mean, if you remember to the cup run, they did this against Toronto. Like you guys are saying, he won in big games before. I mean, this is no different. I mean, his health is in question, obviously, but he's not going to tap out, and this is how we're going out there.
All right, well, that's the problem, though. We don't know what he's going to look like physically, what he's going to be like. He certainly has to be physically a lot better than he was the other night. And I think we all agree that the one thing you can say about the Bruins is when they're in these type of games, desperation situation, that's when they play their best. And you just brought up the Toronto series. So they go up there to Toronto. They win game six. They come back here. Matter of fact, they get themselves into a big hole because I think they were feeling pretty good coming back to the TD Garden. They get down 4-1 mm-hmm. with about 10 minutes left
Same
in the game.
With the cup.
Right. And they ended up winning the thing. So, listen, this is how they're a good, desperate team. But you don't know what your goaltender's going to give you.
And that's the biggest issue, okay? Because it is about the goaltender. But there are other things, right? I mean, there's other things that kind of still bother you. I mean, Carlo and Miller, they're not back. So it's the same decor. DeBrusque is back in. No Lazar. You get DeBrusque, Coyle, Kuhlman, right? Richie, Corrali, Wagner.
Yep.
I think those two lines, by the third period, they'll try to probably make one super line out of that.
Yeah, you're going to have – that's what you're going to have.
You know what I mean? And probably just play three lines here.
That's what
So it's doing. Everything else. It's clearing the puck. It's stop – just I hope this team, and I hope Bruce Cassidy is done, you know, with the referees at this point. Okay, you said your piece, it didn't work, you came back again, you fired it up again, you got hit $25,000, like it's over. You're down 3-2. Like I almost feel like every time they call a penalty, it's like the team gets crushed. You know, because they're going to be bitching about penalties. Stop the bitching, get the penalty kill, kill the penalty. I just think it's a mentality now. I think at some point, Cassidy's got to sit there and say, listen, I said my piece. You guys said your piece. We all know how we feel about it, but I don't want to hear about it anymore.
So the two officials tonight are the ones that they had in game two.
Yeah.
Okay? So, and I think if it's got to register with the league based on the fact that the national writers were all bitching about the officiating and how one-sided it was.
Here you go, Bruce Cassidy. The refs.
Thank you, Debbie. I think they get some breaks tonight. I do. So one of two things. They either get some calls their way or the officials decide, you know what, we're going to put the whistles away. We're going to let them play. You know, this is an elimination game. We don't want to be the ones that are making a call that turns this game around, because you can look at the last game, and I'm sure the league has made it known that, you know, there were three calls right there, a couple of them that were really questionable, and they did kind of turn the game around.
Well, I would say, like, you know, so they obviously, the different set of refs tonight. Not that they made a change, because there was a big, you know, discussion, or I guess maybe not debate, the Nesson saying, like, oh, listen, Nesson's website.
Nesson said Twitter page. NHL stepped in and changed referees for game six.
They always do that.
Very often.
No, that's I know. Okay. So my point is, I think
it's not baseball.
Mm. You have a better chance of a new set of refs just looking at it differently and making adjustments on their own based on the mistakes of the last group. If you had the old group, I'd be a little bit more weary. Listen, they're not going to – maybe they don't want to change what they're doing. The new group saying, listen, all this stuff is getting out of hand. Let's make sure we don't call this. We let this go and play this straight.
Well, I'm just looking at game two. Once you got to the third period, there was no – that was the 4-2 game. I think that was – was that the Lozon game? We did the bad giveaway, I think, in overtime.
Where they're clearing crossing the ice.
Anyways,
pass.
No yeah. penalties in yeah. overtime. There were two penalties in the third period, but they both had to be called. One was Riley, if you remember, illegal equipment. He broke his stick and tried to play it.
Yeah.
And the other one was too many men on the ice for the Islanders.
Right.
And there was like a couple of roughing calls, penalties where like both they took both players out there. So it wasn't all really that many. There was a tripping call, an interference call, and a cross check, you know. But other than that, it was, you know, they kind of let him play with some calls they had to make. So we'll see how that goes tonight. I personally think, you know, you'd like to see that. You'd like to see a couple of penalties on each side, and that's about it. Let the guys play. It's game six. Let's rock and roll.
Your PK,
let's rock and roll.
Your PK's got to be a lot better. You can't give up
go,
three
bees.
You can't give up three of them out there.
But they're again, not but here's the thing. Even if they do screw up and they can't resist, but they're getting penalized, and tons of guys are.
Well, they're not going to go penalty free.
But when we had Catherine Tappan on the other day, okay, the last time the Islanders had three power play goals was 2002. It's not happening again. Like, I mean, do you think it's going to happen again? Best case scenario, sure. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Well, I don't know if the Islanders suddenly get better at it, because they apparently are not a power play team. You talk about the team they just faced. Washington was one of those teams, and we were concerned about dumb penalties and, you know, giving them that extra man advantage because they were so good at it. I don't think anybody said anything about the Islanders being that type of team. They're not, really. And it's probably more of what you're not doing. and Lou referred to it earlier, the injuries, and the injury to Carlo probably is a factor in all of that. But they can't make mistakes. You know, the margin for error, you know, I'm giving you the obvious here, in game six is this close. But I think it's this close in any game against the Islanders. I think the Islanders are one of those teams that are a lot better than we give them credit for. You watch Tampa Bay and you watch how skilled they are, and you clearly come away saying, oh, my God, they're really good.
Yeah.
You know? When you look at the Islanders, you don't necessarily say that, but then you watch them and the way they play, and you go out there and you play your ass off in the first period, and at the end of the first period, you're tied at 1-1. That's because the Islanders just stay in games. They just cling on to you and hold on, and then they wait for an opening, they wait for you to make a mistake, and then they pounce. And that's where they're opportunistic to do that. They're a lot like the Patriots were.
I was just going to say, Ben, but don't break defense. Yep.
It's more like the New York Saints, you know, not the New York Islanders.
Yeah, I think he's done, don't you think? Done talking about the officials? I hope he's done. His pocketbook can't do it anymore. Barry Trotz did just the opposite. Did you see what he said? Oh, I think they're wonderful. I respect them. They do a wonderful job.
He's high-roading them. Don't fall for it, Bruce. He's high-roading you. He doesn't respect you.
Goody two-shoes.
High roading the hell out of you.
Here's Bob. He's in Hull, Massachusetts. Hello, Bob.
How we doing, guys? Hey, there's a reason why the Flash and the Pan goalie always works in the playoffs, because like the team rallies around him, forwards back check more. Bruce knows that. If he puts Cooper out there and he lifts up one softy, all the Cooper haters are going to be, you know, it's both their asses at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I just think that when you put a young goaltender in the postseason, in game six, in an elimination game, is probably not fair. But if you put one of those guys in the postseason, a lot of times they perform well. One, the team, as you said, plays harder around him. But second of all, the other team hasn't seen him. They don't know his style. They haven't really spent a lot of time with him. You know, you get into a comfort level. I heard you talking in the baseball game about throwing left-handers out there and taking the comfort level away from a pitcher. And I think it's similar. You were talking about that last night. I think it's very similar when you're talking about hockey. They know exactly where they can go with Tuukka Rask with a shot and where they can't. They know his strength. They know his weakness. Now you put a kid in there. You got no idea. Where am I going to, you know.
Let me ask you, you guys think Swayman plays tonight?
Yes.
No. I'm going to know.
I think he does.
I do.
He's going. Listen, if I can't think. I'm trying to think of like a more embarrassing moment of my professional career. Claiming, committing to playing in a must-win situation on the road. Crazy set of circumstances. Tough environment. And then bailing. Like, talk about, no, you have got to stay in net the entire time. Suck it up.
Suppose physically he can't.
No, too bad.
See,
too
I think
bad. That, and you can't just be average. Like, you have to be great.
So I think there's a possibility that he is selling them on the fact that he can go and do it. Maybe in his mind he actually believes that he can go and do it. Then you get it, and he did that in the last game because they started him in the last game. And we all heard that he was having issues in that first period. So is it possible he goes out there in the game tonight and the same thing happens? And if it happens, Cassidy has got
to
pull
him. And even go back to, like, you know, old school. I remember, like, Luongo, right? That was a guy that, like, the Bruins just absolutely torched back here in Boston. They put up six on him, and they would pull him and everything else. And then next game he'd be back in there because he's the number one goalie. I just go back to what Bruce did, you know, in game five. Like, it was a two-goal game going into the third period. And he pulled him for a reason. He says maintenance. He says not 100%. It was also because of performance. And I guarantee he looked at the performance, saw those third and fourth goals, and said, yeah, he doesn't look right. You know, I don't think he's feeling good right now. I'm pulling him. So it was a combination of both. But the performance was because he felt like he wasn't 100%. And he was hurt. So it became maintenance as well. So I'm just, you know, I'm afraid that it's going to be a very similar thing. Yeah, listen, I love you to death, but man, you gave up that second goal and that third goal. You know, you don't look right. I got to take you out. Swayman, you got it. And maybe hopefully by then it's just like a 3-2 game. You know, hopefully this isn't like a 3-0 game, you know, before, you know, he realizes that Tuukka right now still is just not 100%.
Christian, I got to believe in making this decision that Cassidy made of going with Tuukka. He's already had this conversation with his coaches. We got to really keep a sharp eye on him, though. I mean, based on what you saw the other night, how do you not do that?
I don't think if you can't finish this game, walk in backwards and pick up your check. Do not walk in face first. You walk in backwards. That is what I'm saying. Like, you, if God forbid, like, no, like, I mean, enough. I know. That's why I'm thinking, like, the embarrassment factor and the shame factor. Where's the bell, Ryan? Like, walk in backwards and then have this lady ringing this bell as you grab your check. That's what you need to do. Walk in backwards. Shame. That's it. With an Islanders jersey on.
We're done with that, baby, Stuka.
That's what I would. I wouldn't even show up. I would be like, I wouldn't even clear out my locker. I would just head home. Hey, guys, I'll see you maybe.
So you think it would be better for him to go to Bruce Cassidy today and say, Coach,
no,
I can't go. My back.
No. I've said you've committed to it. Right. So there is only one path. That's my thing. It's only. You do whatever you need to do. I don't care what you need to take. I don't know. I don't care if you need to feel like a pincushion when it comes to medicine. Do whatever it is you need to do. Call up Tony Robbins. Call up anybody. Give some sort of passionate speech. I mean,
walk on those hot coals.
You know, where's Andy Dalton? You need Andy Dalton. Come out there. Let's put our hands in it together, guys.
Let's have some fun and play together.
That's it.
Win on three. 1, 2, 3. Oh,
so can I question you then? Because you've had the back broken down on you, and you stand up here, and you go, oh, my God, it hurts. My back, it hurts. So what's wrong with that? I mean, there are many times you've had to get up and walk around to get the back in
and
place.
And I know when it's just I'm helpless. I know that no matter what, it ain't getting any better, and I better give in.
The worst part about it is, and I think Lou said it earlier, he can't win either way. I mean, for Tuukka Rask, I hate to say it, unless they go on an unbelievable run, and he gives them 16 wins here, okay, and they go through this whole thing, and they win the cup. And looking at him right now, he might be great tonight. He might be terrific in the game on Friday night. Does anybody feel good about him going with 16 wins
to
the long run here?
Okay? I can see the headline right now. Tuukka, gutsy performance. He really came through for us.
He might, but by next week, if they lose a couple games to Tampa Bay, suddenly people are going to sit there and it's all over. It's going to start all over again. He's got to win the whole thing.
And that's the problem.
I'm not sure they're good enough to win.
We did this in 18, 19, whatever it was, that season. Because he was dominant in that postseason. He was unbelievable against Columbus and Carolina. We're like, good. He's outstanding. No one will remember the first three rounds. So all he did was win, was give him an opportunity to fail. And people will jump all over it. And he was good in the Stanley Cup. He was great in game 6 on the road. And what do they remember? Can't win the big one. Couldn't win, you know, game 7 at home. Lost, what was it, 4-1.
Yeah.
And I think you forget. And well, people just choose to forget. So, yeah, it comes down. He could suck it up tonight. Win game. My biggest thing is if your goal is to win 16 games, he ain't doing it. He ain't getting you 16. At some point, he's going down.
I would say the only
given what we've seen right now.
The only thing that might make it worse, Lou, because I think the Bruins fans were really hyped up on this team. They thought they had a shot. And then the Celtics fall apart, and there's even more emphasis on the Bruins right now. So if they end up losing this game and go down in 6 against the Islanders, Bruins fans are really going to be pissed. Because I think they were expecting this team, especially after the trades they made at the trading deadline, they really felt good about this team. And so it'll be even more put on Tuukka Rask. All right, 617-779-7937 of the Bruins, Dunsky tonight. We take more of your phone calls.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Coming up next.
Keep up with Glenn on Twitter at Glenn D. Ordway.
That fat guy on the radio is crazy. He's out of his freaking mind.
We return to OMF on WEEI.
Like, I can't believe guys whining about the refs. I mean, we're in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's not going to solve any problems. It's never changed. Officials have their own personalities. They're going to make their own calls. It's instantaneous. Whatever call happens, happens. Whatever call doesn't happen, doesn't happen. He's got bigger problems than the officials. You know, he's got goaltending decisions. He's got, you know, the back end decisions, you know, dealing with injuries and, you know, the big man getting concussed again, which, you know, you want to talk about a non-call. What the heck?
That's LB. It was good to hear LB this morning on the Greg Hill Show. But he's exactly right. But what does it tell you that Bruce Cassidy did it not once, but he did it after two different games? It tells you that he's desperate right now. He's looking at this thing saying, we can't win if the officials continue to make the calls the way they're making them right now. There's too much coming against us right now, right? Why else would you do that?
Yeah, so let me get some help.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I guess you could call that a desperate attempt. But I just don't think he needs to go there. Like, he's good enough not to be desperate, you know? Like, it wasn't like, I mean, now that you're
in a... Or be subtle, even. He wasn't subtle.
No, he removed all subtly from the equation.
No,
which, in a way, I kind of respect. It's like, screw it. My give-a-crap factor is zero.
Well, it was a zero after Game 5. There's no question about it. But I agree with LB. I agree with him. There's other things that you need to be worried about right now. So hopefully, you know, they don't crumble the first time a penalty is called against them. You know, they dominate play, and all of a sudden a penalty gets called, and that's it. Momentum's over. It's 1-1. You just give up, or 1-0. You're just going to give up the power play goal? I mean, come on.
Yeah, and what I thought is, like, you know, if they learned anything, like, what was something positive from the Game 5 loss? Like, they
came back.
Which
is what they do.
Guys, we can do this. If we decide, the only problem was it was three goals. Three goals. Three is a lot, man. Like, that's ridiculous. I don't expect him to come back from three goals.
No.
Two,
I think you can do maybe. Get it into overtime, brand new game.
Or you get one, and then you get the extra skater at the end. You pull the goalie, and then maybe you can tie it up then and get
I would say, like, guys, with everything that happened, nothing went right.
Yeah.
Nothing went right. You were still this close to at least tying it up.
I really believe they were demoralized after that first period. You play that well. They dominated probably 16, 17 of those 20 minutes, right? They dominated it. And then at the end, you look at the scoreboard and what? It's a 1-1 game.
And a lot of that was probably mentality going in, feeling sorry for yourself on a horrible Corrali slash.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
So now you go from dominating to now you're in the locker room bitching and moaning about the slash call and the power play. And now it's 1-1 and we dominated and these guys wrote the screws again. Whatever, let it go.
Yep.
I got a better idea. Why don't you clear the puck out of your freaking zone? Why don't we try doing that? Enough with the turnovers in the zone. Enough with the stupid little drop backhanded drop passes from Corrali.
Yep.
A lot of guys get the puck out of the zone when you got an opportunity. Control the puck, which is what, you know, every time it seems like they have a turnover, it ends up in the back of the net.
All right. Are the Bruins done or not? Here's David in the car. He's up next. Hey, Dave.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, gentlemen. You know, the coaches and the consistency out of the ref. You know, I mean, if you don't call it in the first period, don't call it in the third period. Marchand got buried in the corner about 6 minutes into the game with a cross check. They didn't call it. You know, and then they go and call, you know, a light cross check. I mean, you just want consistency, you know, and that's all. I mean, the referees have to do their job, but, you know, if you don't call it in the beginning, don't call it later. You know what I'm saying?
No, I agree. But they're also human beings, and they make mistakes. And at that point, you just got to ride through it. You just have to. But what you don't do is you don't give up three power play goals three power play opportunities because you got maybe bad penalties called against you. You just can't do that. You gotta sit there and say, okay, we're screwed. No, we're not screwed. We're going to fight through it. Here's Jay in Boston. Hi, Jay.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, Glenn, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, bud.
Hey, quick question.
Hmm.
How would Boston fans feel if they had won the game the other night and then Cassidy announced that Swayman's coming out for tonight? What are you guys' thoughts on that one?
If they had won Game 5, they came back and won, well, then I think then you would look at it and say Tuukka, came out of that game for a reason. And his back is jammed up, and he's going with the healthier goalie.
Man, that would be the real fun to me. That would be the fun. That would have been the scenario that would really would have been fun to talk about. Because that goes into
Exactly.
That goes into should somebody lose their job?
Right.
Is one little small little taste enough for the other guy to lose his job when he's 100% healthy? Are you so mad and you can't trust him that you're like, screw it, I'm done with you? If that's the case, then you're done with Tuca forever. If that happened, then he would end up playing for another team next year.
That's it wasn't all Tuca's fault. I don't know. I was there. It was a great. It didn't look like all of it was his fault. Some of it,
wasn't.
But not all of
it.
It wasn't.
And it wasn't like he was bad the other night. Unfortunately, what you have to be in these big, huge games is you have to be brilliant. You really literally have to take over these games. I mean, you look at Montreal and how well they're playing right now. Team's not that good. Carey Price is brilliant, and he's been most of the nights. And that's what you need and when you get into the postseason. And that's what they need from him tonight. And the question is he healthy enough to be able to do that? Spencer's in Beverly on OMF.
Guys, great show. I couldn't agree with you more as far as, you know, this bitching and moaning and complaining. It's getting old. You guys remember Game 7, the St. Louis in the Garden? Are you kidding me? That team came out in the first period. They were down a goal or two, and they just crumbled. They were crushed.
Yeah.
They emotionally just, they checked themselves out in Game 7. Like, at some point, you're going to start looking at Cassidy, and you're going to start asking yourself, is this the type of leadership that we want to put in front of these guys? Because they take on the attitude and the persona of the coach. If the coach is crapping and bitching and complaining about everything constantly, it sets a mindset with the team that they're owed something. So they need to go out and they need to earn it. They need to clear the puck out of the zone. They're going to play with intensity. They're going to improve upon that forecheck. They're getting their butts handed to them physically in this series. They're getting outplayed, and they're getting outgrinded. And I don't care about the perfection line. I care about line three going out there and socking someone in the face and letting them know we're for real.
That's a good point.
Yes, and get your head out of your ass.
And that's your problem, though. And so the problem that I have is you can't sit here, even though Cassidy has bitched the last couple games, we can be critical of him. He's not the major problem with his team. The major problem with his team is I think people thought maybe they were better and they're deeper with their lines, and they're not. They're still depending on that first line, and the Islanders have done a pretty good job of keeping that first line in check, not giving them an awful lot of space. Mm-hmm. And as Lou said, you're probably going to tighten it up tonight because you're going to get longer shifts, and you're not going to play that fourth line, but you might play a combination of the third and fourth line, something like that. But somebody's got to score in that third line. They need some help deeper into that depth chart. They can't rely on that first line to do everything for them. You know, usually teams don't perform well in the postseason if you only have one line.
My back.
It's Holland Oaks.
Your back?
I should probably.
You okay?
I'm tapping out.
You okay?
See, that's how quickly it happens. It happened just like that.
Might happen
that,
like that.
Just
tonight.
Like that.
Here's Mikey. Here's Mikey. He's in Bridgewater. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
What's good, up? Mike.
The thing that scares me the most is, anyone else notice the amount of shots on goal between the two teams?
It was only 40
doubled,
to 19.
They almost
44.
Yeah, they doubled the total every game of the other team.
Yeah, more than
still
that.
Down goals.
Yeah.
Multiple goals each game. It's scary. I don't care if it's Rask, Spoiman. They should be blowing teams out with getting this many shots on goal. It's ridiculous.
Well, I think that's the way the Islanders play, though, right? They allow some of that stuff. So that's part of
they've been doing it the whole season, though, even against Washington, too.
Yeah, I don't know if it was as much.
I don't know if it was that
bad. Yeah, I don't think it was against Washington. I think the Islanders are just so much better. And at the beginning of the series, I think we looked at it in the first couple of games, and you're going, you know, where are the stars? Barzal was slow getting going, and he's now playing at a higher level. And we're looking at him, what are they? They don't have the big, huge, flashy names. But then you watch them play and the style and everything else, and they just wear you down. And as we said earlier, they wait for you to screw up and make the mistake. And whether it's a broken stick or a bad pass when you're in a power play situation, something happens and they capitalize on it. I just think they're so much better than what we all thought they were. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of the problem they have here. Matt's in Wilmington.
Hey, guys. I mean, the Bruins, they're not getting the calls. They don't have the luck with the injuries right now. They're not getting the goaltending. But if this team, forget about the shots on goal that have been registered, how many open nets have the Bruins missed in this series? All of their top five offensive guys, Hall, Bergeron, Marchand, Pastrnak, Krejci, they've all missed open, wide open nets or half open nets.
Yeah.
If they score open nets, they win this. They're ahead in this series.
I think
I've never seen a team miss more open nets in my life.
I think if Pastrnak makes it when he tried the one timer the other night, I think that might have been a different.
Well, the
totally
killer too was
game.
Five. You know, Marchand. I mean, the wraparound.
Yes,
that was 2-0, 4.5 minutes into the game.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That and he just couldn't tuck it in. He just kind of wrapped it along the crease. Nobody's there to punch it in. He couldn't do it himself. But yeah, there's missed opportunities, and that's part of it. It's turnovers in your own end. It's finishing. You know, and it's hard to complain about those guys. You know, you're going to sit there and say Marchand and Pastrnak got to finish? Is that where we're at right now?
No, because
I don't think we're at that point, are we?
No, the point I was just
Bergeron
making here.
Bergeron missed some one-timers that just kind of like the puck was on edge and he just missed the net. And
Lou, it's going to happen with the best players in the league. They're going to screw up from time to time. They get so many opportunities, they're going to do it. I think there's too much put on that first line. That first line has to do everything for this team. And, you know, we thought maybe the second line would be a little bit better, and it has been. But it's still, they're 1.5 line deep. That's where they are right now. We'll go to John. John's in a car. Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, John?
Just wondering why we're not at all speaking about the fact that Swayman let in the game-winning goal in the last game, in that, you know, he's not experienced enough to be able to play up to speed in this game. If Tuca's ready to go, Tuca needs to go.
Well, okay,
I'm with you, but I will say this, though, okay. The guy just gets off the bench. I mean, I can understand him giving up that first goal. I kind of felt like it was going to happen anyways. But I would say give him a fresh – if he gets a fresh start, he knows he's starting.
Does anybody remember
from beginning
that goal?
To end?
I mean, it was like point blank. Nelson, yeah. Right in front of you. Yeah, it was the one where Pellet jumped up and kept the puck in net, and it was like a 2-on-1. Nelson was wide open right in front of him. He also, by the way, Swayman stopped a breakaway, didn't he?
Yes.
On Eberle, right before that?
Yep.
Did stop a breakaway, but if he doesn't let that goal in, it's a tie game.
Well,
you guys are acting like Swayman is like the end-all, be-all.
No, we're not saying that at all, John. Matter of fact, I think we clearly have mentioned the fact that putting him in an elimination game with a full crowd when he hasn't played with a full crowd yet is probably too much to ask. On the other hand, if your starting goaltender, as good as he is, and we believe he's really good, is not 100% and he's only 75 or 80%, based on what I've seen with Swayman in the regular season, I think I'd go with the kid. And we've seen it. Sorokin did it in the last series. We've seen young rookie goaltenders play well in the playoffs because the skaters out there are not familiar with their style and what they're doing. They catch them off guard. That's all we're saying. So we're not sitting here telling you that, you know, the kid's going to go out there and he's going to be great. But
you feel like the alternative is so much worse.
I feel like
that
the alternative,
you'd rather
guy's hurt. Right. That's all the guy's hurt. He can't play.
Right. Yeah.
He's just hurt.
Yeah. And it's not fair to Tuca. This. Oh, no, I don't
what
have
are you doing?
This
Spaz!
Is brought to you by something.
Spaz is supposed to hand you papers.
Spaz, you're supposed to get the right. Where's the copy, Spaz?
Is it the wrong one?
Spaz, what are
sorry,
you doing?
I got you the right one?
No, you got this one over in the other pile. It's okay. Hey, Spaz, you were so good today.
Mr. Ordway is very particular.
All right. Don't worry about it.
Mr. Ordway.
This hour brought to you by McFarlane Energy and South Shore Heating and Cooling's AC incentives. Well, the pandemic has been tough on everyone, right, big fella?
Yes, it has.
But it's been brutal on our aging rock stars. Plus, what? Tampa Bay Lightning's play-by-play man is a lunatic. I love lunatics. And his team just advanced to the next round. We got it all for you coming up next.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go. Good.
Last Call.
I don't thrill about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Heads down, not stretch my thumb.
Where'd you get a f***ing end?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
It's all brought to you by Cars for Kids. It's the easy way to donate your car. Donate today. Cars picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com, 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. You know Vince Neil of Motley Crue?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he was already losing his voice, right, Ryan?
Yeah,
the voice was a problem.
He's been slipping for a while.
I was going to say, he's one of those.
I think he's a type 2 diabetic. Type 1 diabetic.
Is he really?
Yes.
So he's had some issues for a while with his voice. So the pandemic So amidst the best of times, he was struggling. So now we got the pandemic. As we know, the pandemic stopped everything in society. And apparently Vince had even more problems. So this was the encore of his big return show.
Oh, no.
No, so the band's doing girls, girls, girls. He's walking off the stage. Yeah.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Don't just lip sync it. Pull a Milli Vanilli.
Should have done that in advance, right?
And this is his encore?
Yeah, this is
encore.
The big finish of the music
festival.
So they
finished with one of the best songs, Girls, Girls, Girls.
He walks off. He lost his voice. Oh,
I can't do it anymore. See you next time.
That's what Tukaresh is going to do tonight.
Second period, guys, I can't you know.
All right, we love radio calls. Here's Dave Mishkin. He works for the Tampa Bay Lightning, Kristen. Little bit intense. So, and it was a great series, the Lightning and the Hurricane. Carolina came in. A lot of people thought, our own Pierre Maguire thought that
the Hurricanes are really good.
They were going to be really good. They were the team. Nah, Tampa Bay Lightning are too skilled. But here's some play-by-play from Dave Mishkin.
Stamkos, a little feed for point high slot. Chops it on net. Save made. Rebound. Caught. No goal. Score! Stamkos! Lightning need the puck. They don't get it. Aho left circle. What a shift by the Hurricanes. Center point Hamilton. Shoots! Score!
Unbelievable.
Kucherov fires! Score! Kucherov! Huge goal! Right circle to Johnson. Fires! Score! Score! Tyler Johnson! Tyler Johnson has tied this game at 4! Right circle Kucherov open. Left circle Stamkos. Score! Stamkos! Right circle Kucherov. Score! Kucherov! 6-4 Lightning! To the offensive zone right circle. Colton holds. Shoot! Score!
Dog whistle.
Dog whistle. Time winds down. Palato on the far board.
He's losing his voice.
Gets it to Slavin, and it's over.
Boy.
Another shutout for Andre Vasilevsky. In a series clenching victory, the Lightning of a.
Who's the old guy?
I love that. I don't know who that is.
Who's the old guy?
I think that's his backup.
Dad? I don't know who it is.
Yeah, listen.
Center point Hamilton. Shoots! Score!
Unbelievable.
Is that Grandpa Simpson?
Unbelievable.
I was like Grandpa Simpson.
Remember the original six when we had Simpson.
Keep it down, Sonny. Awaken me.
You know what? Fire! Score!
You know what we have to try to get for. For tomorrow, Ryan, is we have to get the Islanders guy, because the Islanders guy, he's another one of these falsetto guys. This is the new thing now. If you're a hockey announcer, you have a decent...
Here, turnover chance for Bailey and a low! Shoots, he scores! Josh Bailey has won it in overtime!
Oh, come on.
It's like falsetto!
They take a 3-2 series lead! No more! And a chance to close out the Penguins Wednesday night at the Coliseum in Game 6! Ilya Sorokin is mobbed. He becomes the first Islander goalie in team history to win his first 3 playoff starts. He makes 48 saves in the double overtime victory.
And he can sing BG songs too.
It sounds like well. Debbie or Rachel from Spazzville. Doesn't it a little bit?
We gotta get his call.
Josh tonight. Bailey has won it in overtime. Oh.
All right, boys, we're done for
Big
the
win
day.
Tonight.
We got a little mini-mutt show coming up next, and then we'll be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll see what happens with the bees tonight. Catch you tomorrow, too. Have a good one.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.